It has been said about the 8th chapter of Romans that if the Bible is a ring, Romans is the diamond, and chapter 8 is the sparkle in the gem. No doubt, Romans chapter 8, in these verses, 39 of them, you find more than we could ever preach at one time. But this morning, as we looked at chapter 6, then at chapter 7, an overview of chapter 8, next month we are having I Love Sunday, 5 Sundays. We're going to be preaching about the church. You'll need to be here. Your small group session will link to the morning sermon that we will have. You go to small group at 8, come at 9:30, and we'll tie those messages together. And then in November, I'm going to come back to Romans 8 and do verse-by-verse exposition of this great, great chapter. But this morning, we come to look at it in overview. 22 times in chapter 7, we find the word sark, or flesh, that we live according to our flesh. What I want to do, I don't do. What I decided to do, I can't do. And when we come to chapter 8, we find 19 times the word pneuma, breath or spirit of the living God. You dare not be a Romans 7 Christian. You must move to Romans 8 and walk and live and put your mind fixed on the Spirit of the living God. James chapter 2 and verse 26 tells us that the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. If your body could not breathe, you'd be dead. There must come and if you have not breath, they put you in a box. As your body must breathe, a living faith must breathe. And it breathes by the pneuma, the Spirit of God. I have a glove here in my hand. Just lay it right there. I say to that glove, wave at these people. I say to that glove, reach over and hold my Bible. No, you must take that glove. Then you say to that glove, wave at these people. You say to that glove, pick up my Bible. Dear friend, without the hand in the glove is dead. And you, without the Spirit of the living God in you, are dead. The only way we do the work of the living God is to be indwelt by the Spirit of Holy God. Or we just sit there. But when God comes in to us, we realize that 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 is correct. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. You see, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is an essential for the Christian. Because Romans 8 and verse 9 is going to tell us, if you have not the Spirit, you're none of His. The Holy Spirit is an essential. It's not an extra. You don't have a bunch of Christians and then you got Spirit Christians. No, 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 friend. If you do not have the Spirit of God in you, you are none of His. You are born of the Spirit. You are dead in trespass and sin. Jesus died for you. He comes to live in you and literally raises you from the dead, and He puts the new man inside of you. Well, what happens when the Spirit of God is in us? I want to show you 4 simple exclamations out of Romans chapter 8. So let's jump in and we look at them this morning. Number one, for Spirit-filled believers, for those walking in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. Romans 8, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, there's the first time Spirit is used. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's where you're supposed to say amen, right there. For if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus, Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. You see, the law and sin will condemn you. When you have sin in your life as a Christian and you don't deal with it, that sin condemns you. It says, see there, you're really not what you said you. The law, you can never live up to the law. The law, you can never meet all the requirements of the law, and the law will condemn you. That's why you need an advocate, and you run to Jesus. And let me tell you, when he forgives your sin, you are not condemned. You are, as Romans 5 and verse 16 will tell us in just a moment, you are forgiven, because the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are indeed the children of God. When you go to verse 34, it asks the question, who then condemns us? Well, you don't have to look far. Sin will condemn you. Law will condemn you. I'm telling you, friends around you will condemn you. But it's Jesus Christ who died, yes, rather was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Set your mind on the Spirit. Verse 6 tells us this, that when you set your mind on the Spirit, you are not condemned, but you have life and peace. Listen to me, dear believer. Do not let the wicked one, do not let your own carnality, do not let others condemn you. You have life and peace when you are sold out to the living God, and when he is in you, you are alive. Not condemned, but forgiven in Christ. You are his child. Does he discipline us? Sure. But condemn us? No. There is now no condemnation. So don't let the devil and his crowd, don't let liberals or legalists drive you into a corner. Just get right with Holy God, and I'm here to tell you, he will set you free and give you life and peace in the power of the Spirit. You ever mess up? Say amen if you ever messed up. If you didn't say amen, get up right now and come to the altar. Why, every one of us do. If we're not careful, we'll condemn ourselves. But friend, you got to live up to who you are in Christ, not live down to who you are in the flesh. Most of us are living by the sweat of our own carnality rather than the unction of the Spirit of the living God. We're just grunting along, sweating in carnality, saying, I'm going to live up. No. You got to die to yourself and let the Spirit of God breathe through you. Breathe through you. Be ye filled with the Spirit. No condemnation. Number two, when we walk in the fullness of the Spirit, there is no fear. No fear. Look at it in verse 15. where Paul says in Romans 8, verse 15, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Look at verse 16. "And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." Verse 17, "And if we're children, we're heirs also." We're heirs of God. We're fellow heirs with Christ if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. No condemnation. Secondly, the Spirit-filled believer tells us there's no fear. Friend, you've been adopted. You are a child of the living God. If you're saved today, you're God's child. You're a king's kid. He's adopted you. I've shared with you about our Bethany connection over here at the Bethany House. They do adoptions. The first adoption that they did, they called me, asked me to come. I told them, never ask me to come to that again. Don't ask me to come because I'm not coming unless I know somebody. They called me to the first transfer. I said, "What are you talking? They're going to have a transfer." I said, "Well, all right." So I came in, sat down. I didn't know. I didn't even know what was going on. I looked over here in this corner, and there was an elderly woman and a younger woman that was holding a baby. And over here on this side of the room was a young couple. I found out later they were from Seattle, Washington. This lady with the baby was a single mother, and this was her mother with her. And they went through some stuff in red, and then they had the transfer. And I saw it coming, and if I could have got out of the room, I'd have run. And that mama took that baby and put it in this mother's arms, and they cried, and she cried, and the grandmother cried, and the pastor that didn't know anybody cried. That's why I told him, "Don't ever ask me to come to a transfer again." That's what they call it. They had transferred that child. They will never see that child again. She gave life. They could not have children. And that baby was, let me tell you, friend, when you got saved, you were transferred. You was transferred out of the family of darkness into the light of God's gospel grace. When God saved you, he transferred you from death and gave you eternal life. You should have no fear. Because you're Abba, Father. What was it Jesus prayed over in Mark's gospel when he got to the garden and he is praying about, "Lord, let this cup pass from me." He cried out, "Abba, Father, if could be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." He knew the Father would do that. That's right. Let me tell you, friend, you don't have to fear because God the Father does that. That's right. Every time. Every time God does that, that's right. You say, you don't know some things I've been through. But let me tell you, I don't care what you've been through. God's your Father. He's looking after you. He's taking care of you. It sometimes is in the depths and in the hurt. So let me tell you, what happened to you did not happen to you. It happened for you. Because God is your Father and he's got everything under control. No fear. No fear. I never was a big fighter when I was in school. I was a big talker, but I wasn't much of a fighter. I tried to talk my way out of messes I'd get in. But in the fifth grade, I couldn't talk my way out of it. And they put boxing gloves on us. They weighed 47 pounds apiece. That was after the first lick we tried to throw, you know. We just... Coach Cooley is right. I didn't ever want to do that again. But I got in a scrape one time with a guy that is larger than me. And he's going to make me fight. I didn't want to because it wasn't going to be pretty. And my daddy walked up. Abba, Father took care of me. He ended that. Some of you walking in a scrape today, if you'll walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, no fear. You've been adopted. Now you must be adapted. After you're adopted, you must adapt to who your new daddy is. Abba, Father. He cares for you. Walk in His Spirit. It's the inner man, beloved. It's an inside job, not external. It's internal. No condemnation. No fear. Number three, no defeat. No defeat. Look in verse 26, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. You got any weakness, say amen. Oh, yeah. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit knows. The mind of the Spirit knows what it is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Friend, the Spirit of God prays for you. And we know, verse 28, most of us quote this incorrectly. Most of us quote this without God causes. We just say, we know that all things work together for good. No! All things don't work together for good. The translation is correct in this text. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. All things don't just go in a blender and work out for good. No, no, no. God causes these things to work together for good. Amen. To those who love God and those that are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, and He knew you before time, He also predestined you to become conformed to the image of His Son. Why was it He knew you? Why does He predestine you? Why does He call you? Why does He justify you? What's glorification? It's so you'll be conformed to the image of Jesus. What the world needs is to see Jesus through you. And when He comes, there is no defeat. I said, Pastor, I've walked through some of the toughest stuff ever. I've walked through how in the world I'm down. No, no. The Spirit of God's praying for you. Never forget. We just want to live in the visual. Friend, you can't live in the visual and walk with God. You got to walk by faith. It's what you can't see. It's what you hear about in the book. God is at work causing all of this to work together for good. Amen. My Lord, if you'd have married those girls that you thought you was in love with. But God's causing things to work together. Amen, Skip? Yes, sir. God is at work. He is behind the, and His Spirit is living and entering. He's praying for us. When I don't even know what to pray, He prays with groanings. All I can do is grunt. And God works it. That's the Spirit man. And we trust. There's no defeat. Tonight, after service two, I'm going to get in a car. My wife, we're going to drive north. I'm going to preach tonight. The first church I pastored while I was a college student, New Lebanon Baptist Church. First Sunday I was there, we had 44 in Sunday school. We had over 100 in the choir this morning. So about half of that crowd up there would have been a good Sunday at New Lebanon. The biggest day we ever had was 125 while I was there. I did my first deacon ordination. Wasn't my first baptism. I'd baptized before that, but it was my first baptism outdoors. Sportsman's Lake. Deacon went down there with a big fishing cane, started slapping the water. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm running the snakes out so you can go in. I said, I thought you was the servant and I was the pastor. How about I smack the water and you go in? Larry, I did my first funeral. I went to the funeral home and I picked up the casket and put it in my car. It was a two-day-old baby. When I get to that church this afternoon, I'll walk in the graveyard right next to the church. I know where it is. I know where I planted that first funeral I ever did. I carried that box. And they put that two-year-old in the ground. The mama couldn't come because she's still at the hospital. I wept with a daddy. I believe it's the first time I really understood this passage. That when all I got's groaning, the Spirit of God makes intercession for me. I couldn't pray. I didn't know. I didn't have any words for that. I don't know. You can have two PhDs in pastoral counseling. You don't have a word for that, do you, Brother Wayne? I mean, God just got to get you through. The Spirit of God breathed in that. He moved all that together to bring good. I'm telling you, friend, it does not happen to you. It happens for you if you'll walk in God's way. You didn't ask for it. You didn't call for it. But I'm telling you, God is working everything for His purpose. And His purpose is to conform you to the image of His Son. So no defeat. Amen. No fear, no condemnation. Thirdly, or fourthly and last, there's no separation. This chapter begins with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation. Amen. Look at it in Romans 8, begin verse 31. Well, Paul loved to ask questions. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? What difference it make? If God's for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He quotes then out of Psalm 44, verse 22, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all of these things, we, hooper nikeo, overwhelmingly conquer. Hooper means above. Nikeo, where we get the word Nike. Anybody wearing a swoosh in here this morning? That's this word right here. Means victor. Means conqueror. We hooper nikeo. We are more than conquerors. We are overwhelmingly victors. Hallelujah. Through Him who loved us, for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, or angels, or principalities, things present, things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you, friend, when you get saved, you're God's child, you're always God's child, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. People always say, you once saved, always saved. Friend, the emphasis is not on the always. The emphasis is on the once. If you nail down once, you'll be always. I know a lot of people trying to holler on the always, and they are really fishy on the number once. You get it sure, and you are God's child. Hooper Nikeo, you're more than a conqueror. You are an always victor, and nothing will separate you from the love of God. Neither death, life, angels. I had a lady sent me a text this week. She's died. She's had cancer for a long time. She said, Pastor, can you help me? I'm just a little frightened. I said, of what? She said, dying. She said, I know I'm saved, and I'm going to go to see Jesus, and I'll see my daddy, but I'm just a little frightened of crossing over. I paused. I said, Spirit of the living God, I don't know how to answer this. but help me. I sent her a note back. I said, the Bible promises dying grace. You don't have it, therefore you're not dying. I said, when the day comes you're going to die, you'll be fine. I said, I'll be honest with you. I would share in the unknown of just passing over. I probably would find a little fright in my own heart if I just had to be honest. I'm not so much scared of dying as I am hurting. Just the passing over. I love it when they say, well, you know, he just went easy. I said, dear God, that's what I'm looking for. Do you know the ones staying behind, you don't stay easy. They might go easy, you don't stay easy, right? That's tough. Because you let go like a ship on the water drifting away, they go. There's some separation between you and your loved one. There's never a separation between you and God because you are Hooper Nagel. You're more than a conqueror. You're a victor when you're full of the Holy Spirit. That word is, the best way I can say it is if you're playing a baseball game, you get to the end of the first inning, you're ahead 60-0. That's Hooper Nagel. Amen. You're more than a winner. You're more than a conqueror. Through the Spirit of the living God, nothing can separate us. God's got his arms around me and I'm his. He said that I'm in Jesus' hand, Jesus in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck them out. I'm his. The question is, are you in his hand? Three applications. Number one, have you ever been born of the Spirit? That's salvation, that's redemption. You must be born again, and when you are birthed of the Spirit in the inner man. And the Spirit comes, and when he does, there's no condemnation, no fear, no defeat, no separation. He promises that in Romans chapter 8. I want to ask you, can you tell me where God stepped out of heaven, stepped in your heart, take me to a place, tell me of a time when you were born of the Spirit. If you've never been born of the Spirit, when we end this service, after this Lord's Supper service, I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to walk in that foyer. There's four tables out there called Next Step Tables. I want you to walk up and tell the man or woman there, I've never been born of the Spirit, never been saved, and today I want to do it. Today I'm ready to be saved. Number one, have you been born of the Spirit? But now, if you have been born of the Spirit, there are two admonitions Scripture gives us. It tells us, do not quench the Spirit. And it also says, do not grieve the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says we should not quench the Spirit. I believe we quench the Spirit when we put self on the throne of our life. When we exalt self, we quench the Spirit. But now, when we grieve the Spirit, according to Ephesians 4:30, I believe it's then and there, not so much that we exalt ourselves, though it is sin, but when we have unconfessed, known sinfulness in our life and are going opposite of God, and you've got sin there, and you will not turn from it, you will not confess it, and sin rules the day, it is there that you grieve the Holy Spirit. It's like you grieve your mother's heart. Here you grieve the Spirit, and when you grieve and quench the Spirit, then you cause him to withdraw. Not that you're lost, he just draws in. Dear friend, we must serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know when I've read a chapter of Scripture as many times or read more commentary or prayed more prayer than I have over. This is one of the most phenomenal chapters. This water's so deep, I'm telling you, it gets over my head so far I just can't get in it. I'm going to swim in it in November. We're going to walk through there on the predestination verses, the election verses, on the non-separation verses, on the Spirit of God. But I can tell you this, I remember the day when I experienced Romans chapter 8. I remember the day. I said, Lord, all of me. Church, and we got to hurry, but listen to me. Last Sunday at the 11 o'clock service, you need to pray about this. Last Sunday at 11 o'clock, this altar was full of teenagers. And I don't mean there was one teenager who had a problem, all the rest of them came down here and piled on top of one. That happens from time to time. You have somebody's got an issue, and I'm telling you, there were broken teenagers all over this altar last Sunday. I went home shouting in my soul, because I know that's where it starts. We got a bunch of middle schoolers off at a retreat. They'll be in 3 o'clock this afternoon. They won't be in the next service, but the high schoolers will be here. If God can find one young man or woman, if God can find a David out on the backside of nowhere watching sheep whose heart is completely, I'm here to tell you, he'll fill them with the Spirit. If God can find a young lady like Mary, she is just an older teenager when the Spirit of God came and she said, Lord, may the favor of God be on your handmaid, on your bond slave is that word. And God said, Mary, I'm going to confirm it for you, because Elizabeth, who's too old to have children, is going to have a child, and you're too young to have a child. You're going to have a child. Let me tell you, friend, when the world says you're too old or the world says you're too young, God's got you right where he wants you, and he's about to blow it up and do a miracle of it. That's the Spirit of the living God. When he just finds one that says, Lord, I lift my cup, and he flows and fills. And we walk not in the flesh, but we walk in the power. I remember when it happened to me. I remember that Sunday. I said, Lord, I was at the Clear National Guard Armory in Clear, Alabama. I'd gone to a full gospel businessmen's fellowship. I went down, I just said, Lord, I surrender. I give everything I got. I'm yours. Man, I got in the floor on my face and cried out unto God. When all these kids were down here, had one of our chief young deacons sent me a text last week. He said, I didn't even know he was down here. And he said, Pastor, God slayed me last Sunday at 11 o'clock, sir. He said, I just ran and fell on my face. He said, God's up to something. I said, glory to God. I'm going to tell you what had happened. This right here is what happened. He is waving at me in a new way, because the Spirit of God had infused. When God finds one, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, says the eyes of God go to and fro, looking for one whose heart is fully his, and when he finds it, he shows himself strong on his behalf. It just takes one, just one.